Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Harbor of Joy. Let's stand up and worship together.
I can tell there's more people here than normal. Some of you from Arizona and other parts of the United States are here today. Welcome back to Iowa, the home of the largest popcorn ball in the world. Just want you to know that. Good to have you here today. I'll try to make the announcements as short as I can because I know it's communion, which means I'm already thinking about how am I going to cut the sermon off some along the way because we got to make room for everything here today. Don't want you to just be here till 11 o'clock. I mean, 10 o'clock. I mean, whenever. Yeah, 11 o'clock. You'll get out earlier than that. Just want to make sure you got a bulletin as you came in, and there is something on both sides of the flyer that is in your bulletin in case you haven't figured that out yet. But do want to let you know that there will be choir practice right away following the service when it's over with. For those of you that want to be in the choir singing one song on Easter Sunday, just going to practice that right up front here after church here today. And there's always room for one more. Just want you to know that will take place today. And the song is He Rose Triumphantly. So some of the things we hear during Lent is kind of a bummer. It's not always the happiest kind of a thing to hear about from the scriptures, but Easter changes all that. And we know that if you have Jesus in your life, he changes everything in your life as well. So keep in mind those that are the prayer reminders here, Alan Holman. He's a jolly guy. If you see him, he's always joking around and smiling and laughing. And he's still up at Hilltop, the Akira Nursing Home here in Spirit Lake. If you get time, great time to go see him. And if he looks like he's sleeping, I sat in his room and I just stayed there hoping he'd wake up. And he did. And so I said, I was glad I stayed because you're playing possum, Alan. He goes, I heard you. I said, yeah, right. So anyway, go see Alan if you can. Rob Ramsey, keep him in prayer. I have no update with him. Dean's not here today, Dean or Cheryl, but Dean did go out and see him this last weekend. Or one of these last weekends. Last week, probably, he was out there. And we have our biannual business meeting that is coming up. The reports are going to be, we need the reports in no later than next Sunday. I think next Sunday is Palm Sunday, isn't it? Can't believe it's already Palm Sunday. So reports have to be in for that, so the booklets will be available the following Sunday, which will be what?
Easter.
Easter. And you can pick them up after that, too. I mean, if you want, get a hold of a copy, you can sure do that as well. We will have the Monday-Thursday service on Thursday night, so there will be nothing will be Wednesday before. It'll just be Monday-Thursday. We'll have communion that night. We'll have a Good Friday service, which will be at 6 o'clock on Friday. And then you should be all excited and ready to come for Easter. How many are going to be gone for Easter? I just knew there would be some. And it's okay, because that's kind of what happens. Easter, you got to go somewhere, or sometimes you got a lot of family coming, and you'll say, Pastor, I cannot be at church because I have a full house. And they're not talking about playing poker either. So, but anyway, so keep that in mind. Biannual business meeting will be the last Sunday of this month, which is Sunday, April 27th. Pastor Dan Winkowicz will be here that morning. I'll be leading the service. We're going to be going up to northern Minnesota to see our daughter and spend some time watching their kids as they go to Indiana. And we'll be back Saturday, but I will be here to lead the service. But Pastor Dan will be giving the message that Sunday morning. And I come back just to make him nervous. You know, I'll probably sit in the front pew as he preaches. But I'll just be here for that Sunday, just so you know that. Read all the other announcements that are in your bulletin. I'd like to just say, too, I mean, it was just a great Passover meal, Seder meal this past Thursday. People, Chosen Ministries, Trevor that was here, did a great job. I'll never look at communion the same. And those of you that were here probably won't look at today's communion service the same either. So it was a wonderful time. So thank you, Patty Griffiths, and thank you, Maria Watke. Man, I never expected a meal. And there was a meal there. I thought it would be a lamb.
Can we give him a hand?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, very much. It's great. So with that, I'm just going to have a word of prayer, and then I'll sit down, and the band can play there this morning our next song. I have to do the call to worship before they do that. So let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing everyone here this morning. Thank you for bringing our friends back from down south or wherever they came from. I know there's some from Arizona that are here today and some that are coming back this direction but haven't made it yet. But it's just really fun to be able to see people that have been gone for months. And now we see them back here with smiles, and may their blood thicken up a little bit as they come north. And we just thank you for the smiles and just the handshakes and the greetings that they have been able to give along the way as well. Lord, we bring before you Rob Ramsey. Lord, you know, he's been on our hearts a lot of different ways, a lot of different times. And Lord, we just continue to ask you that you would give to him, restore the health where he can walk, where he can get around like he used to. But maybe used to is not going to be completely the used to that he remembers, but it will be something in which that he can be given the strength and your power, Lord, to do what would just make people marvel. And so we just pray that you would just touch his legs, you would touch his body, touch his arms and his fingers and his toes, and give him what he needs at this time, Lord. Thank you for a good attitude that he has. And help us, Lord, not to forget about praying for him each and every day as well. And we know that you're at work, even though we can't always see it. We also thank you, Lord, for Alan Holman. And pray that as he recovers, he's walking more and going further without any kind of help. And yet he gets tired out. And so we just pray that he will continue to recover and to regain what he needs as well, where he's at. Be with Sharon and with Craig and with Todd and with Linda as they're kids. And, of course, they're going to be concerned about their father as well. And so we just lift him up before your throne of grace this morning as well. And, Lord, there might be other needs that are even here today whereby we are glad to be in your house. We're glad to be in your presence. May you use all that takes place today in a way that people know that you have come alongside him or her and that you are real and that you have great things for us and that you help us through the difficult things as well. So may you just bless each one that's here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And the call to worship comes from Psalm 126. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Remember the song, Bringing in the Sheaves? Yeah, kind of what it's talking about here. Bringing in those sheaves brings joy. Lord bless you as you share with us. So. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can you hear that again? All right. I know you're not a Baptist congregation, but there still is an amen here. Okay? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take some time in silence as we ask the Lord to show us, his Holy Spirit to show us, reveal to us what our sins may be here this morning that we carry with us, that have been bothering us, plaguing us, that we may confess them to him and He knows what's in our hearts. Let's do that right now in silence. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son who has laid down his life for us so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen. Special number this morning is Amy Johnson. I'm just straightening this up here a little bit because some of you cannot focus on the message when you see that this is not quite straight. So, is it worse? All right. Just don't look at it. Okay. Invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. Comes to us from our friend Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verses 17 through 20. Oh yeah, the kids can leave right now if you want to. Luke 20, verses 17 through 20. Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written?" And he tells them about Psalm 118, verse 22. It says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." Depending upon what translation you have, you might have cornerstone. It can be either or. "Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be honest. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are looking at a portion of Scripture that we pray, Lord, brings conviction this morning. And conviction is good because it will then show us our need for a Savior. It shows us that we need to go to Jesus Christ to receive from Him and to be given by Him only what He can give, which is forgiveness. And so, Lord, use what is spoken of here and make it come alive for us today, that we may see ourselves here in this text as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of background to what is being said here, and I'm not going to really touch a whole lot on that. Hopefully it will whet your whistle, wet your lips, where you'd kind of would like to read what it says before and what comes after of our text here today, that you would take time to do that today. I think you'd find that very beneficial. Rejecting the best. What would it be like if those of you that came back from down south today, you came into the church and no one ever talked to you and didn't shake your hand or said, "Good to see you"? What would that be like? Wouldn't that make you feel like a warm fuzzy? Probably wouldn't. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's just wonderful to see you back. I'm not saying that you're the best, but you're good. It's just good to have you back. It makes a big difference. Jesus is dealing with some people that are questioning him about his authority. The authority of, why did he go into the temple and turn over the tables? Why did he chase out the money changers in the temple? He tells them a parable about a vineyard that an owner had bought, and he rented it out to some other farmers. And at harvest time, he sent back some servants to just get a little bit of some of the produce that has come during this time that he's been gone. He sends not only one servant, he sends three servants, and every servant that he sent would go back to the owner and say, "They did not like me. They didn't give me anything either. They beat me up, and they got rid of me. They told me to get back, just leave them alone. Get out of here. Go back to your owner." And so the owner said, "I'll send my son. I bet they'll respect him." And so he sent his son. And they got wind of this. The renters got wind of this. And what was their conclusion? Ah, This is the heir. This is the one who's going to get all of what we're doing here. Let's kill him. And that's what they did. They killed the son of the owner and threw him out of the vineyard, deader than a doornail. Jesus ends the parable by saying, what do you think the owner of the vineyard's going to do once he finds out what you did to his son? And the people said, well, he's going to come back and he's going to kill all these tenants, all these renters. They're going to kill him and he's going to give the field to somebody else. And the crowd there said, may this never be. May this never happen. That's when Jesus looks at those who were involved, and he says to them, he looks directly at those that were thinking about the answer to this parable. And he says, what does this mean? And he quotes scripture. He goes, as it is written, and he quotes Psalm 118, verse 22, where it says, blessed, no, that's 26. I have to go back to make sure. Psalm 118. Just give me a moment here. I want to make sure I get to the right place. I didn't write it down in my notes for some reason. Sorry about that. Psalm 118. He says, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And if you go down to 26, it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Remember the people saying that as Jesus rode in on a donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? We'll probably hear more about that next Sunday too. But that's quoting scripture. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were shouting that and other things, Hosanna. And they had waving palm branches and things like that. What Jesus is saying to them comes from what was spoken long ago about the builders that built things, but the very stone that they were building is what the people rejected. And they would understand this at this time. Daniel speaks about a stone that comes, and the stone, it's Jesus. It's the things of God that God is doing that the people never, ever liked. They always rejected what God was up to and what he was doing. And here again, through the parable as well as through the scriptures, Jesus is pointing out to them that whatever God has tried to do along the way, the way that it has been received, it's always through rejection. Do you know what it's like to be rejected? Some of you do. There's no way you can go through life, the age of some of you, and not receive it. It comes. It happens, doesn't it? Rejection. Is it a warm fuzzy? Is it a good feeling? Never is. Rejection. Guess who was rejected more than anyone else? Jesus. We're going to see it again and again and again, especially as we get into leading up to Easter. He's going to be rejected continually. And we'll get into more of that at the very end of the message here today. But Jesus talks about some judgment that will happen to those who have rejected him. And that's really the second part. He says, everyone, now it's not just some, it's not just those that go to church. He says, everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. but he on whom it falls will be crushed. There's judgment there. You reject Jesus Christ, you will have to pay the consequences of that. I don't understand when people sometimes say, well, don't be judgmental. I go, look at what we got here. There's judgment here. God is the judge. There's no doubt about that. And I always leave that with him. But there are things that you make judgments on every day. You have to make a judgment. Am I going to get out of bed this morning? You have to make a decision. Okay, now that I'm up, okay, what do I do? Do I put on my socks? Do I get dressed? Do I go take a shower? Do I shave? What do I do? Do I go to church? Do I not go to church? Those are all making judgments of what we do every day. What am I going to wear? What do I look like? We do that all the time. Jesus points to the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the most important stone on the foundation of a building. If it's not square, if it's not laid right, the rest of the building is not going to be right. But so it's very important. It's kind of like the cloth on this table. It needs to put on it just right. And if it's not, you notice it. If it was a capstone, you'd be talking about kind of an archway. In the very center of the archway, it's that one stone that keeps it from collapsing. It's kind of the capstone there. It's very important. Jesus is very important in your life too, and in my life. Without him, our lives are going to collapse, fall apart. It's going to be a mess. And I tell you what, our lives are all a mess anyway. No matter what we do, it's going to be a mess, but that's why I need Jesus. How about you? When Jesus speaks this psalm, conviction comes to these people. Conviction. They knew he was talking about them in the parable. And they didn't like it. And their reaction was, we got to arrest this guy. We got to get rid of him as fast as we can. But they were afraid of the people. That's the only thing that kept them that kept Jesus around for a while, is because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, it's all religious people, the elders, every one of them wanted to kill him, but they were afraid of the people. They wanted to be liked by the people. They were afraid of him. And so they had to come up with another plan, and they did. You heard what the plan was. Let's send spies. Let's send pretenders that go and will talk really nice to Jesus, but underneath all of it, it's just all fake. It's just all a facade. And Jesus, of course, knows this. He sees right through it. That they're flattering him. They're being nice to him because they're up to something. And he knows that. That's something that we don't have. We can't do that. We just take people at their word, and then you have to go by what is said or what is done following that. But their plan was this. Well, send somebody. This time they send Pharisees and Herodians. Herodians were people who were on the side of the Romans. And they came up and just said, you know, Jesus, we know you're such a nice guy, and you know, you're a godly guy and all that kind of a thing, but who do we give this temple tax to? They brought up the temple tax. And Jesus said, show me a denarius. And they showed him a denarius. He said, whose picture is on there? And they said, well, it was Caesar. And he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar, but give to God what is God. And they were silent. They go like, well, we didn't expect him to say that. But they wanted to trick him into saying something against the Roman government because then they could go to Pilate, the governor, and say, this man has spoken against the Roman governor and against us, against Caesar, who's the head of the Roman Empire. And he didn't fall for that. But that's what they were hoping they could do. So the importance of the cornerstone is knowing that you are standing, that you have the solid rock, Jesus Christ, in your life. That's what makes you who you are. Remember when we talked about Jesus being tempted in the desert by Satan or in the wilderness? And how it says that following that, that the tempter had to leave him, Satan had to leave him, but look for an opportune time. We see it here. He's at it again. He's just using other people. But he's trying to get Jesus not to go to the cross. I don't know if he knows that Jesus is going to be raised from the dead. He just wants him gone, out of the picture. And he'll use a lot of different ways. So he comes after Jesus in a lot of different ways in the Passion Week in particular. So Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected. He was rejected by even one of his own disciples. Right? Judas Iscariot. He betrayed Jesus. Any one of us who betrays Jesus or rejects Jesus in our lives, we've rejected the cornerstone. We've rejected him personally. And you can even be here today looking nice, smiling, and still not know Christ. You just know what to do. You know what the routine is. You know what will make you look like a good person in the community as long as you attend church. But what's the real reason behind it? Is it because you really need him in your life today? And you're just good to be in his house and to be with those that loved the Lord? It's important. Jesus was very familiar with rejection. He spoke about the prophets that had been sent to the people of Israel for how many centuries, and how did they treat the prophets? And the prophet is including Moses, who the Sadducees really hung on every one of his words, but Jesus pointed out that even the Lord and the prophets spoke about a resurrection. Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. But this is part of their game plan. But Jesus showed them that, hey, Moses even talked about a resurrection. So how can you say you follow Moses, but you're not following Moses here? You're just pretending. We think of John the Baptist. Jesus asked them, was John the Baptist from the Lord, or was he from man? And they couldn't answer that, because they knew whatever they'd say. You know, if he said, well, he was from heaven, or he was from the Lord, well, then he'd say, well, why didn't you believe in him? Why don't you follow him? If you say he was from man, well, then the people will be upset with you and they'll stone you. Because the people said he was a prophet. He was a godly man. We have Stephen in the book of Acts, Acts 7 to be exact. Stephen was one of the disciples. He's the first martyr of the Christian faith. He was rejected. And who was there holding his clothes, approving of what was being done to Stephen? A man by the name of Saul, who later on we know as the Apostle Paul, was there. Jesus changed Saul's life, where he became the Apostle Paul and has written more than, well, probably about half of the New Testament. Outstanding person. But he suffered. He was rejected wherever he went. There was problems wherever Paul went. And it continues on to this day. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you'll be rejected. Guaranteed. It's going to happen. One way or another. And you'll be surprised who that will be. Especially when it comes from your own family. And the only thing that makes you different is because you love Jesus. And they don't like you anymore. I don't get it. But it happens. It happens. So the renters of the vineyard rejected the best, the son of the owner, that was sent to them. And we do the same. God has sent us his son, Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of times we reject him too, don't we? Along the way. And that's why we have communion. A way of saying, Lord, I admit, I'm not who I would like to be. I need your help to be the person you want me to be. The only one who can save us is the one, Lord, who you have sent to help us and who can forgive us of our sins, and that's your Son, Jesus Christ. The cornerstone, the rock. May we not reject him. May we never reject him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's hard to admit when we have gone astray, when we have wandered away. We always think we're probably better than who we think we really are. But you see us for who we are. And as a sinner, Lord, that's what we know how to do best. We don't love like we should. We hold grudges. We forget about things that we shouldn't forget about and remember things that we shouldn't pay any attention to. So, Lord, once again, we come before you knowing that we're just a messed up person. And that's why we need you, and that's why we love you, because you never give up on us. And you come to us over and over and over again. And we don't deserve that. But that's the kind of God that you are. You love us and you always want the best for us, even when we reject the best, which is you. So we come today, Lord, saying, I need your power and I need your strength. I need you to be living in my life and to let you to live in and through me, where I am more like Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what other people say, as long as I know that I have you and I'm trusting in you each and every day. Just like this morning, I'm trusting in you, Lord, and thank you for being able to take your body and blood today. There's something about communion, Lord, that you strengthen our faith as we come to you by faith in the places where we are so weak, places where we fall all the time. But we thank you, Lord, that today, because it is communion, we receive Jesus and we want him in ways that we've probably never had him before. So use today in a powerful way. just as we heard last Thursday night from Trevor, that we remember what life was once like, but we know that you want to make our lives much better if we just receive you and trust in you. So let us pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before we take communion, and we will say the Lord's Prayer before, not the Lord's Prayer, we'll say the Apostles' Creed before we take communion. Just want you to know that some of you are new here, and I just want to make sure right away that you know that it has taking communion has nothing to do with church membership. If you're here today, it doesn't matter if you're a member of Harbor of Joy or not. You're invited to come to his table because Jesus is the one who does the inviting. And if you want to come, by all means, come. We just do things a little bit different here, probably, than what you're used to. There's two stations. One up front, if you want to come up front and kneel up there, you'll be served communion up there. If you want to just come and walk and receive communion here, you can put your cup in that basket if you come on by. And you go back and sit down where you are at. It's all up to you. You can sit up there as long as you want and pray. You don't have to pray out loud. You can just pray. It's just you and God up front. And so if you don't want to have wine, just hold your hand like this, and you'll be given grape juice. That's kind of tells the servers, you want grape juice, you want this. You don't want wine. So we have both. If you have a gluten problem, you like to have a gluten-free wafer, they're in a plastic little bag, little plastic little container that you can help yourself to that. So no one else has touched the inside of them. So I think about it. So let us say what Jesus said on the night in which he was betrayed. When he took bread, he gave thanks, and he then broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He also then took the cup. And when he had given thanks to the Father, he said to his disciples that this is my blood shed for you. Drink all of it in remembrance of me. I'll ask the servers to come. I believe you know who you are. Or don't you know? Yeah, Lynn, you can come on up. And then Dale. Say, Norma, would you like to hold a basket? She's got this one down here. I mean, up here. Is Jack Johnson here? No, Jack? Okay, Jim is going to usher. So Jim will nod to you to either go up front or come up front, up here, up to the altar, or to come this way and receive communion. Nancy? What? Oh, yeah. That's it. Right, hold everything. Let's do the Apostles' Creed, but you can stand. Let's say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Blood of Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.